Howdy, beauty.
This is the Dana and Parks Podcast.
Yes, ma'am, me all day long.
Okie dokie.
And Scott Park shows up just at the appropriate time.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Apparently I came in at the right moment.
This young lady is a kindergarten teacher at a Christian kindergarten school. She's 21, and her side job is $2,500 a pop porn films. She was fired. Mm. Should she have been fired? It's a private school. They can do what they want.
But if it was a public school?
If it was a public school, oh God, this is so hard.
Right? You have two girls.
Here's some visual aids for you.
In case you needed, them. In case you thought we were lying about it.
Yeah, there you go. She's.
He's got. You have a lot of proof over there. You have a lot of pictures.
All right, Wicked. I get it.
I have a whole book. She's 21. She makes $2,500 a film.
Is that a lot?
Well, then doesn't mean that she doesn't need to teach.
Well, that's the theory.
She wants to, and she's good at it, we think.
I love teaching, and I love sex. That's her quote. I think most of us love one of those.
Private school, they have every reason and every right to fire her.
What if it was Shawnee Mission? And it was a kindergarten.
Is she public about her pornographic
Somebody
career?
Found it. Somebody found it.
That's the problem.
She also has an Instagram account, which is very revealing.
She didn't tell them, so you think if she had been, if she'd fessed up, it'd be different?
Dana Wright.
I think here. if she was open about it, yes. Because what ends up happening is that her pornographic career could be used as blackmail against her by a parent, by a student. I need an A in this class, and if you want me to keep my mouth shut about your pornographic career, but if she's open about it,
you get more dads at parent teacher conferences.
Probably would. A lot of dads that would otherwise be absent in their child's lives.
Right. All of a sudden.
Suddenly are present.
He really wants to go to presentation day.
All right, real fast. What are you guys doing? Never mind.
Whoa. Never mind.
We'll go to the newsroom with Kara Markser.
Happening now on KMBZ.
Facebook advertising starts at $5 a day. At Something Different Media Group, our advertising experts can get your products in front of the right audience. Something Different can help you advertise on Facebook, Google, YouTube, local TV, and more. Something Different's approach is simple. We learn about your business, and then we get to work. Call Something Different now to talk about your business, your goals, and how we can use the internet to grow your business. Call Something Different now at 816-753-8000 for a free evaluation. That's 816-753-8000.
Howdy, doody.
Kansas City's highest rated afternoon show is about to replay. Welcome to the Dana and Parks Podcast.
Are you okay over there?
Yeah, that's good.
Travis, if you would.
It's been 20 years since
Mr. Rogers.
This is Harry Potter. What are you talking about?
I thought it was a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Nobody else did.
I thought we were going to a magical place.
We are going to a magical place called Harry Potter World.
Kara, I'm going to try to break this to you gently.
1997. This is my childhood right here.
It's not ours.
I still am going to tell you about it.
It is, and let me tell you why. We all read the books as parents with our kids.
Yes.
I read all of those books when Jack was little to him. I remember the first one. I remember he has a lightning bolt on his forehead, and that's about it.
Well,
but you weren't one of those parents that thought you can't read this because it's all about witches.
Oh, God. Are you really? No.
Yeah. I bet Dana let her religion really get in the way of that.
I'm like, want to be Wiccan? Okay.
See, I remember going to the bookstore at midnight and waiting for the books to come out.
I didn't dress up.
But there was parents who did with their kids. I mean, full robes and scarves
and
hats.
How old were you when this came out? Like 16?
No.
What are you now, 33?
This was in 1997 when the first book came out.
And you're now 33.
I'm 32. We'll be 33.
So you were 12 or 13 years old when the first one came
out. Here's what's amazing about the Harry Potter series. It got kids reading.
Big time.
Kids that never read before, Scott, started reading because of Harry Potter. And they didn't just read one. They read all of them.
Mm-hmm. And the books got longer and longer.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. J.K. Rowling is kind of amazing for that.
Yeah.
Cool.
I've never seen nor read a Harry Potter anything.
You would love it. I'm not a big... do you call that science fiction? I don't know what to call it. I'm not into fantasy.
Fantasy drama.
I'm not into any of that. None of it. I still enjoyed that book.
There was more than one book.
I know, but I don't remember the other ones. I just really remember enjoying the first one.
They're all good.
Yeah.
I really, 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 really want to go to Harry Potter World down in Florida. Really. Like,
the hell's Harry Potter World?
They have a whole theme park dedicated. Wow.
Disney does?
Yes. I totally want to go.
Like, it's at Disney World?
I think it's either at Disney World or it's Universal. I don't remember which one, but I told Paul, I was like, we need to make this like a trip.
And he's and like, what did Paul say?
He's like, sure, honey. Whatever.
That's right. Rowling was a struggling divorced mother when she wrote the first Potter book. And I'm trying to remember, was it her first book?
I don't know. She ain't struggling anymore.
Oh, my goodness. I mean,
isn't she worth over $1 billion now?
It's a big number.
450 million copies of this book sold, 79 different languages.
Isn't that great?
She was homeless and wrote half of it on a napkin.
That's right.
Is that the truth?
Mm-hmm. It's in Universal.
Yeah.
It kind of...
Well, good for her, man.
Yeah, it's a cool story. It's a really cool story.
Hmm.
I bet your kids have read it, Scott.
I don't think... Well, they're more into... what is the vampire stuff?
Twilight.
Twilight, yeah.
Yeah, I read those too.
They're more into that than they are Harry Potter.
But it's kind
of... Why are you snickering at me?
I'm not. I'm just excited that it's like... I just can't believe it's been 20 years. It makes me feel kind of old, actually.
Hey, here's what's going to make you feel old. When the first movie you ever saw was Star Wars, and it's 40 this year.
Yeah.
That makes you feel old.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay, I have a run, do not walk, really quick, even though I haven't read it. I'm already No.
This is ridiculous.
No, I've got a run, do not walk. I had a lengthy conversation with someone I trust over the weekend.
That's like me saying I've got a run, do not walk to the new Winger CD. It just came out. I haven't heard it.
No, please do not compare anything that I suggest to Winger.
It's not every day I feel like Scott wants to throw a pin at you, but just now I think he wanted to throw something at you.
I haven't read it, but it's a run, do not walk.
It is
you can't do that.
Run, do not walk.
I think.
And no, I know it. It is called Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm ordering it tonight. I will give you the full review. And give me a week. All I need is a week to read it. It is about the murders of the Osage Indians, which is apparently a horrifying chapter in United States history.
Well, I can't wait.
It was government-sanctioned homicide, is what this friend of mine said. And what she said was, slavery is awful, and we know a lot about it, right? In our schools, we teach it, we talk about it, or history's doomed to repeat itself kind of thing. She said, when you start reading about the government's role in killing the American Indians, the Native Americans here, she is surprised that we don't teach more about that in our schools.
You talking about, well, we used to. Trail of Tears, how they all got shipped off to Oklahoma.
I don't remember ever going over that in history in high school. I don't. I remember being taught about the wars, and I remember certainly being taught about slavery. I do not ever remember.
You don't remember being taught about Andrew Jackson and how he led the assault on the Seminoles?
No. I'm telling you, no. And she said this Killer of the Flower Moon is such a devastating read about what was done to the Indians. And I said, well, you know, that's my great-great-grandfather is Indian, capital I. And so I'm ordering it today. I'll have it read in a week. She said, run, do not walk, because I think I need to coin that phrase.
But it sounds like that you didn't really care about your 1/16th of your history in history class.
Right. I should have spoken up and said, hey, I want to talk about my people, too.
My mama, she makes them all
No.
You can find me in my wigwam. I'll be beating on my tom-tom. Pull out the pipe and smoke you some. Hey, and pass it around.
Are you done?
Yep.
The FBI's in on it. It's just supposed to be very good. I'm very excited.
You didn't realize that the Indians were treated very, very poorly?
Yes, I realized they were treated very, very poorly, but I haven't done a lot of reading about that chapter in our history.
You know why they put them in Oklahoma, right?
Because no one else wanted Oklahoma? I don't know.
And do you know why?
Why?
The ground is made out of clay. You can't grow anything.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, it is right. That's why they would go there. The ground is crap, right, Travis?
Yeah.
That's why a lot of the houses in northern Texas don't have basements. The ground is made out of clay.
That's a bad place not to have a basement.
You think?
Mm. Right in the middle of Tornado Alley?
Yeah.
You can't put a basement in clay. So they gave the Indians that land. That's where all. That's why all the reservations are in Oklahoma. It's because the ground is crap. The Trail of Tears, you remember that? I mean, yes. they forced the Indians to walk. Many of them died tragically. I thought, what?
I don't know that that is something that is a focus of history in high school.
Then what are we teaching these children?
I think you check off the Civil War and the Revolutionary War.
Okay.
And you check off probably a little bit of Vietnam and you...
How about some World War II?
Today, absolutely World War II. But
you're only focusing on wars all of a sudden. Why?
Because when I think back to our government and history classes in Topeka, that's what they focused
what
on.
What about the Great Depression? There are so many other things than...
That was in there.
What about how the revolutionary way that this country reinvented things, creating the car, the internet, first man to the moon, allegedly, Maya. You know, I'm still struggling with that.
Yeah, as you should be.
You're going to be for a long time, too.
I mean, this kid's going conspiracy crazy lately. I don't even know where to
start. I'm
going to
get her a book about Building 7.
Oh, man, like, don't. Maya, no.
Does she not believe the moon happened?
No, she thinks it's fake.
She saw it on the internet.
She believes, she's like St. Margaret. If it's on the internet, it got to be true.
You need to get her some tinfoil for
I'm going to make her a little hat. Here, get on the internet. But wear this first. But there are so many other things. I mean, the way that this country was founded and the men, dare I say, because there were no women who were participating at the time, the men who founded this great nation, the principles that they believed in, some bad, some good. You didn't learn about all that stuff?
I mean...
All they taught you was about war?
It was a lot of dates. I remember history being a lot of dates.
I remember a lot of Revolutionary War.
Yeah.
A lot of
Revolutionary. A lot of that. A lot of Constitutional Congress. Mm-hmm. You know that. And I'm not saying those things aren't important. Of course those things are important. But I just don't remember...
They teach you about the Civil Rights era?
Of course. I don't remember any mention of the Indians. I'm going to go with at all.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
Now, I remember things like Trail of Tears and Custer's Last Stand and stuff like that, but there wasn't a whole lot. I got to agree with Dana there. There was not a whole... It makes us look bad as a country, and I think...
And slavery doesn't?
Well, but I think we tend to gloss over some of those areas, too.
I agree.
Let me ask you this. Looking back on what you learned in high school and maybe even in college, okay, because we all went...
Sure.
What's the one thing you wish they had taught you about, good or bad, for the way it made the United States look, that they didn't teach you?
Oh, that's easy for me.
What?
The Indians?
No. I think it should be mandatory in every high school, certainly college, but in every high school, a world religion class. World religion. And I've had people...
Now, you've come out against this in the past, though.
But no, I've had people say to me, as an adult, they went to like a community college and took a world religion class, said it was the best thing they'd ever taken because you have a more general understanding of beliefs of the world, which leads to a more general understanding, in some cases, of the conflicts of the world. And we didn't do any of that in high school.
So... But who's going to teach it? That's the question. Are we going to have Bill Johnson get up there and go, we're going to get into Islam and Hindu and Buddhism in just a moment. But first, let me tell you about my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Because what you do is you say, this is what, you know, all around the world, people believe a whole lot of different things. And this is the history of those beliefs.
Now, this is new for you because you haven't always thought this way.
I think that we, in this climate, in this day and age, should be teaching world religion. I really do.
576-7798. Fairly? Equitably?
Yeah, of course. Not what I think you should believe, but this is what they believe here. This is what Judaism means. This is what Hinduism means. This is what the Buddhists believe.
Right, let me tell you about these heathens we call the Muslims.
And yes, this is what the Muslims believe.
Okay.
Scott.
Heathen bastards. I'm kidding.
Really?
I'm kidding. I kid. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.
TV is huge. TV advertising in Kansas City starts at $2. Something Different's award-winning TV commercials are dreamed up by our super-duper creative team who bring real-world broadcast expertise to each project. We love making your ad memorable and effective. We'll help make your business TV premiere really count. Call Something Different now at 1-866-774-9900 to chat. That's 1-866-774-9900. Visit Something Different at one of our Kansas City locations or online at somethingdifferent.com.
Dig if you will the picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. The sweat of your body covers me. Can you, my darling, can you picture this? Dream if you can, a courtyard, an ocean of violets in bloom. Animals strike curious poses. They feel the heat between me and you. Just leave me standing alone in a world that's so cold.
Prince,
maybe I'm just
here on Dana Parks. By the way, for everybody who came out to Lee Summit on Friday, 54th Street Grill and Bar, thank you. It was good to see you, and we had a wonderful time. Thank you. Somebody writes in a couple of minutes ago, I have a serious question. So, Texter, I will give you a serious answer. When you hear about the things that your ancestors have done in this country, such as this, I'm presuming this person means the Trail of Tears or something to that extent, does it make you guys feel a little bit guilty? No. First of all, my family was not part of the South. We were from New York. We didn't own slaves. We didn't chase Indians off their land, as far as I know. And I refuse to pay the bill for somebody I didn't know and somebody I will never know. So no, I do not feel guilty. I do not suffer from white guilt at all. 576-7798, Steve in Kansas City. Hello, Steve.
Hey, yes. I'm kind of a dinosaur. I graduated in 1969.
Okay.
My youngest son just graduated from high school. I remarried late in life.
Okay.
You would be astonished to find out what they don't teach in school. I saved my history book from high school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, enlighten us. What did they teach in 1969 that they don't teach in 2017?
Well, they pretty much covered current events, world history, the Civil War. They pretty much kind of touched all bases. Now it's just a skim coat. It's just like, I can't believe it's just if you get it, maybe one of your kids, get one of their history books from high school and just go through it. It's like everything's sugarcoated. It's, I enjoy your show.
Whoa. Hang on, Steve.
I would love to look at his old book because I think it would be interesting to compare then to now. And I think because we are a more politically correct society today, and I don't know this to be true, but I believe him that we probably do water down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even remember them teaching the history of Native Americans in the United States. I don't even remember that. Well, that was in 92.
I remember it, but okay.
My great-great-grandfather came from Oklahoma, and he gave me a metal bank that said Bank of Guthrie, Oklahoma, Indian Territory.
Okay.
And another side of the family came from Virginia and lost all their plantations.
But what does this have to do, though, Steve, with what they're teaching in school or whether they're watering it down?
Well, they don't even go on current events. I mean, they won't talk about, like, say, Kent State, during the 60s, the revolutionary time, not revolutionary, but when students would stand up and protest. Now students take everything as a grain of salt and just they're more worried about their day-to-day life. They just don't absorb the lesson that if you ignore history, it will repeat itself.
All right.
Kent State, that's an interesting one. I think I probably learned about that more in college than in high school.
I think I did too. And I'm not minimizing what happened at Kent State. When you factor in all the things that have occurred in just 230 years of American history, is that one that you put, you get one semester or one school year.
Right.
Kent State is, and I mean no disrespect to the students that were killed, at the hands of their own government. Does Kent State even generate
10 minutes of discussion? And again, I mean no disrespect. I would argue it does not.
Probably in the scheme of things, it gets less time than other topics.
I would bet it doesn't get a mention. And I would argue maybe it doesn't even require a mention. That's something
that
you can do.
That was the government killing its own citizens.
And we haven't had that throughout the history of
America?
Well,
but I think that's worth a mention is what I'm saying. In modern day history, the government killing its own citizens, that's worth a mention to me.
All right. 576-7798, Steve and Cameron. Hello, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
I was thinking when you were discussing, you know, why we discuss slavery in textbooks, but not so much the treatment of the Native Americans. Slavery was private citizens owning slaves. Most, if not all, of the interactions where the Indians were killed, tortured, driven from their lands was actually committed by the government. And it goes sort of to the idea that we'll tell you, and what do we know about slavery? Well, the government helped stop slavery. It does. The history books don't ever really talk about how the government enabled it. It always talks about how government solves problems and never talks about the problems that government
created. That's a great point.
Are you telling me they don't teach that slaves were brought to the United States, that when they wrote the Constitution, a slave in the South counted as three-fifths of a person? They don't teach that?
I'm not entirely certain.
Okay.
But I'm talking about their focus, because think about what sort of schools we're talking about. We talk about public schools, but they are actually government schools.
True. I grew up in Department of Defense schools in the military, and we were taught about slaves counting as three-fifths of a human.
But what he's saying is the government, in the end, is kind of the hero because we stopped it. Whereas with the slaughter of the Native Americans, the government was complicit directly in it. And maybe that's why.
There's a very good book called Lies My Teacher Told Me, which is I actually had it on audio tape, listened to it on a drive just recently. And it's sort of dated, but he went through 10 popular history books used across the country back in the 1990s. And just the amount of completely incorrect, contradictory, and misinformation. And that was one of the places where I got the point. You know, the government is always presented as a solution, never a cause of problems.
Give me one really good one, a really good lie that they teach in schools from this book.
The very first chapter is about Columbus and talks about how very few textbooks ever talk about how many Native Americans died because of diseases. And it wasn't on purpose, of course, but yeah. Columbus was a tyrannical, he had tyrannical interactions. All of his men just killed Native Americans for fun. And it's never talked about because he's a hero.
It's a good
point. Lies My Teacher Told Me by James Loewen, Loewen. He spent 2 years at the Smithsonian surveying 12 leading high school textbooks of American history. What he found was an embarrassing mix of bland optimism, blind patriotism, and misinformation, pure and simple, weighing in at an average of 4.5 pounds and 888 pages.
Well, Rod, and you can jump in on this one before we get to the news. Here's one that I distinctly remember from elementary school, and that was every year as we approached Thanksgiving, we would see pictures of pilgrims sitting down at what looked like a park bench, having a meal with Indians with no shirts on and just a loincloth with their little feathers in the back. And the pilgrims were putting down the turkey, and here come the Indians with the colored corn.
So happy.
Everybody's getting along. Until after dinner when we're going to kill you because your skin is red. But that was one of the great lies I distinctly remember from elementary school was, hey, man, the pilgrims came over. They were looking for religious freedom.
We made little posters of the ships, the Nina and the Pinta and the Santa Maria, and it was fun.
And everybody
they didn't even have turkey. They probably had fish.
Good point,
but
Kara
here's
Marks.
The other deal.
Like,
do you tell kindergartners the lie, or do you not teach it at all because it's so horrifying?
Don't teach it to them at that age.
You just wait.
Yeah.
How did we get here? Well, that's going to be in sixth grade. We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later because it's got a lot of death in it. I mean, give me a break. That was and that George Washington never told a lie. And he chopped down the cherry tree. He didn't chop down a cherry tree. and he had fake teeth.
Facebook advertising starts at $5 a day. At Something Different Media Group, our advertising experts can get your products in front of the right audience. Something Different can help you advertise on Facebook, Google, YouTube, local TV, and more. Something Different's approach is simple. We learn about your business, and then we get to work. Call Something Different now to talk about your business, your goals, and how we can use the internet to grow your business. Call Something Different now at 816-753-8000 for a free evaluation. That's 816-753-8000.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron, and your breath is hard as kerosene.
Does that mean you had bad breath?
Mama's only boy,
he says your breath was as hard as kerosine. That's like saying you got bad breath, right?
Okay. Or you're mean.
Began to cry when you said goodbye.
I don't know how you drew that, but...
Everything that comes out of her mouth.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Oh, okay. It's like a fire.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Her mouth.
His mouth.
Do you know what else I thought today when I was driving on my way in? They played Hall & Oates' Maneater. Love that song, right?
Yeah, of course. Big hit.
Do you know, growing up, I thought he was saying Mine Eater. I don't know why. I was little. We had the 8-track, and I remember the
mine, like landmines.
Yes, like a landmine. I don't for the longest time I thought it was, "Watch out, boys! She'll chew you up. She's a mine eater." Thinking like she's so awful, she could eat a mine and nothing would happen.
You're kidding?
No, it really does sound like that.
That was what you thought the title meant.
No, that's what I thought the song was.
Oh God,
she's a mine eater.
No, no, she's not. She's a man eater.
Get her for free. The woman is wild. She can't tame by the purple jaguar. Mine is a matter. If you're ready for love, you ain't gonna get too far.
Okay, here it comes.
I know. Listen. Focus. Don't sing it.
Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater.
Man eater.
Man eater.
Oh, I swear, let's
watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater.
Stop singing over it to make it what you want it to be. Stop. Listen.
Oh, here she comes. Watch out, boy. She'll chew you up. Oh, here she comes. She's a man eater.
That's a man eater.
Man eater. Just saying.
Okay.
I could see how people would make that mistake.
I can't.
Okay.
Mike and KCK. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. How are you?
We're doing well, man. Thanks.
You know,
go ahead.
I have a perspective on this business of history as you guys are talking about it. Stop and think who the authors of all the history books were.
The winners.
White people. White people aren't going to publish anything in a history book that is going to negatively impact them. They are not going to say anything about slavery. They're not going to say anything about Black Wall Street down in Oklahoma, the massacre that occurred down there. Most people don't even know about that, you know, and it's been a white-dominated educational system. And that's part of the reason why our educational system altogether is really messed up. It's too much white influence. And before politically correct was even a statement, they had to make dang sure they didn't come up with anything that reflected negatively on white people.
To the victor...
Well, and first of all, I'm gonna staunchly, Mike, if I may, disagree with you. You say that we don't teach anything in the history books about slavery in school?
Boy, when I was in high school and I graduated in 67, you heard very little, if anything, about slavery.
Well, I can assure you of this. I graduated in 1989 and we heard plenty.
Mike, let me ask you this. Dan Weinbaum was weighing in here. He grew up in Georgia. He thinks this is regional.
He grew up in New Mexico.
But in the Georgia system, he said they heard plenty about certainly Revolutionary War stuff. He thinks some of this is regional. Now, I don't know where the textbook writers live or where the businesses are based, but I would tend to agree that depending on the area of the country, like in Texas, they teach Texas history.
They do in Texas. When I went to middle school in Texas, I had a teacher by the name of Mr. Tate, and he was our Texas history teacher. I remember a textbook this thick. Sure. I know more about Stephen F. Austin and all these other people. I tell you what, that is all they taught.
But I wonder in the Deep South, Mike, if it's either going to be one or the other. They don't teach it because they're so embarrassed by it, or they teach it because they have to, because it would look so ridiculous if they didn't.
Well, what's our problem here in the central part of the country? Why don't we teach it?
Well, but Mike, I think we do teach about slavery.
Even when I graduated from college in 72, we heard very little about it because, again, it was a white-dominated subject.
But, Mike, I'm not trying to be rude to you any more than I would try to be rude to myself in this regard. We are not current.
Oh, absolutely. We haven't been current for years.
No, you and I are not current.
Oh, yes. Oh, well, I'm a lot more current than you probably think.
What I'm saying is you're basing your opinion on what occurred to you 40-some-odd years ago.
But I would still argue the textbook writers are predominantly white.
Well, thank you.
Well, the country is predominantly white.
And probably go from, you know, year to year to year, book to book to book, based on prior years' teachings.
Well, now, wait a minute. You guys can't have this both ways. And Mike, hang tight. I want you to hear me out, and I'm going to keep you on the line. You guys cannot have it both ways. You can't sit here in one angle saying, well, the books are written predominantly by white people, and they want to make white people look good. And then at the same time, admit, and rightfully so, that academia is literally populated by liberal thinkers. You can't have it both ways.
I think academia is different than textbook writers. I do. That's a different subsection, if you will.
See, academia is subject to the whims and wishes of their superiors. However, textbook writers aren't. There's a big separation.
Who do you think picks the textbooks?
Pardon?
Who do you think picks these textbooks for our children to read? It's the people in academia.
Well, but Scott, you're saying this from a state that is so backwards, they wanted to put stickers on textbooks reminding everyone that evolution was a theory.
Well, I would remind everyone that Kansas is one of 50 states.
I think we could and should do a better job with certain areas of history. Well, that's all I was ever saying.
I can assure you that at Lansing High School, we were required to read Frederick Douglass's book. And that was not exactly what you would consider a liberal bastion of Kansas education.
Did you ever hear anything about Black Wall Street?
No.
Why not? Did you ever hear anything about Nicodemus, Kansas?
No.
What's Nicodemus, Kansas all about? It's a community that was founded and populated by black people and still is highly predominantly black today.
What is Liberia?
No. Forget about Liberia. We're talking about...
You asked me a question. I'm asking you, what is Liberia?
That I don't think that has any relevance in our discussion about it.
Because you don't know.
Hey.
Which is my point. We can't sit there in the course of one 9-month academic year and teach children about every single thing that you have now, in the course of the 40 years that you've been out of school, had time to sit down and study on your own. You can't answer my question about Liberia for the same reason that I can't answer your question about Nicodemus, Kansas, because I don't know. And you don't know what Liberia is.
True. because, again, in world history, some of those subjects were really glossed over.
Liberia is a Western African nation that was populated by former American slaves.
Okay, fine. I'm glad you know something about...
Guess what? I didn't learn it in high school. I learned it on my own.
Well, but you're proving our point.
No, you're proving mine. In the course of teaching about American history, we have 9 months. Are we going to sit there and go, listen, children, let me tell you about a small Western African nation called Liberia, which was populated by former American slaves who had left the United States and went to Western Africa to reestablish their own country, any more than we would be expecting our children to learn about Nicodemus, Kansas, some town, according to you, Mike, with all due respect, that was populated by former African-American slaves?
No, I didn't say former African-American slaves. I don't know that it was populated by former African-American slaves. It was established and populated by black people. I know that.
Okay. But that's my point. You really expect, in the course of everything that is really important about American history, the good and the bad, that my social studies teacher or my American history teacher, Keith Andrews at Lansing High School, is going to sit down and tell me about Nicodemus, Kansas, or Liberia, Africa? No, he's got bigger fish to fry.
Well, you're missing the point, I think.
I don't think.
Dan Weinbaum,
think he is.
No, Dan Weinbaum texted and said, it's not that they can't teach those things. They are teaching to the test. And right now the test is about math and science. It's not about history. And so...
That doesn't make any sense.
I agree. I think more time is given to those core areas where these teachers are told these students have to perform a certain way on these standardized tests.
No.
And history is not at the top of that list.
If you want to make an argument that a math teacher is teaching to the test, you'll get no dispute from me. If you want to make the argument that a science teacher or maybe even an English teacher is teaching to the test so that the kids look better and the school looks better in the long run, you'll get no argument from me. But don't tell me that a PE teacher or a social studies teacher is teaching to the test. They're not, because those topics are not quizzed on the test. So the one, they get the same amount of time in math as they get in social studies. It's just that when it comes to how is your school performing, those tests are basically done on math, science, and English. The social studies teacher, who gets the same amount of time with the kids every day as the math, science, and English teacher, he doesn't have to worry about teaching to the test. He can teach what's in the textbook, or he or she can teach whatever they want, because they're not part of the actual test.
From the text line, breath as kerosene means drunk. Like hard alcohol, the alcohol smell is strong.
Okay.
And there you have it.
Damn right. Scott Parks, Rod Babcock here on KMBZ.
Have you ever been forced to watch a YouTube video? Something Different Media Group can help you get your business there too with a video that screams quality, or else your viewers aren't going to trust the ad. Videos on YouTube start at 25 cents. That's right, only a quarter. And you can specifically target zip codes, demographics, and lifestyles. Call Something Different now at 866-744-9900 for a free evaluation. That's 866-774-9900. Visit Something Different in Kansas City, Leawood, Lee's Summit on the Northland, or online at somethingdifferent.com.
I don't think I'm going to see you tonight, but I am playing 80s. Kelly and I are playing 80s trivia tonight at Cocoa Ball.
Oh, it's so much fun. You're going to love it.
I'll let you know how
and
we
you'll
do.
You'll be good at it.
I'll let you know how we do.
Okay. I just want to read you a couple of sentences because a texter wrote in and said, didn't you hear about the slavery textbook controversy in Texas a few years ago? And sure enough, it was McGraw-Hill, and they published a series of history books that called slaves that were brought over on the Atlantic slave trade workers. They were workers that were brought over here to work on the plantation. Now, McGraw-Hill came out and said, look, we're sorry, we shouldn't have called them workers, and offered to send out stickers, again with the stickers, these people, to correct the actual hard textbooks. But listen to the way the passages are written. They're written in passive language, okay? Families were often broken apart when a family member was sold to an owner. And the Times write this. It says, look at the use of the passive voice in all of these passages about slavery. Families were broken apart. Families were sold. If the sentence had been written according to the principles of good draftsmanship, it would have looked like this. Slave owners often broke slave families apart by selling a family member to another owner. A bit more powerful, no? Through grammatical manipulation, the textbook authors obscure the role of the owners in the institution of slavery.
That's an interesting point.
And then it goes on to list several other examples, Scott, where it's just a nuance. It's such a it's a sleight of hand is what it is. It's not that bad. Listen to this passage. Some slaves reported that their masters treated them kindly. To protect their investment, some slaveholders provided adequate food and clothing for their slaves. Notice how the first two sentences, the quote, slavery wasn't that bad sentences. The main subject of each clause is a person, slaves, masters, slaveholders. What those people, especially the owners, are doing is clear. They are treating the slaves kindly, providing adequate food and clothing. And you start to see, Scott, if this is in fact the way these books are written, it's a very slight difference in the way.
But you almost act like there's a conspiracy theory here.
I would. A conspiracy is a little strong.
Like there's a sympathetic undercurrent in American academia
to the
for
slavery.
Owners.
Yes, I do see that.
But yet you would admit that most people in academia are liberal. Would you not agree with that?
I don't think that that's true when it comes to the textbook writers. I really don't.
Okay, all right. We'll get to that in just a moment here on Dana and Parks.